Welcome to the Elks Dynasty Daily Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara. We are diving into the Carolina Panthers, a new quarterback for the Carolina Panthers, Baker Mayfield. He was traded for some future draft pick consideration, conditional pick, and that's in 2024 because they basically trade all their picks, even though they're not good. It's an interesting conundrum there. They take on some of the financial commitment for Mayfield, and that certainly drops some of the trade costs there. I think Baker's interesting, right? It bounces around a bit on Baker. So when you look at Baker, career 7.3 yards per attempt, he's basically been at 7.2 yards per attempt the last 3 years. So hasn't really grown. You could say a couple of things about that. You could say, all right, well, that's not good. Or you could say, hey, he's kind of like league average. Like he's kind of like in the middle of the position. The question then becomes, do you want to invest in that? That's exactly the situation that Cleveland faced. And their result, their process was to say no, which frankly, I understand and I get. And so that's really what I think with them is, and Baker Mayfield might be a good lesson on this, right? You'll see some tweets and stuff that will say, hey, listen, like he took them from being one win in 2 years to being a playoff team. Like he's better than giving credit for it. The financial implications of that are massive, right? Like if you can get a quarterback that plays at league average at a remarkably cheap number, right, you have the ability to add, right? That's why guys, teams like the Chargers can have Keenan Allen, can have Mike Williams, right? That's why a team like Miami, the rookie contract there allows them to be in the market for a guy like Tyreek Hill, where in Patrick Mahomes' market number, his cap number, doesn't really allow that to the same extent to build out a balanced roster, right? These are give and takes. So if you get good quarterback play, like even good, like acceptable, passable play from the quarterback position on a rookie deal, it's a massive edge. If you get someone that's great, then you're a Super Bowl contender. Josh Allen, Justin Herbert, right? The Joe Burrow, right? Like, there's a reason why these rookie contracts are continuously represented well deep into the NFL playoffs, including the Super Bowl. And the financial advantage is enormous. I wish Carolina learned that lesson, but they refused to do it. Instead of learning the lesson, right, their solution to this problem, and this should be your solution to this problem, if you're ever faced in a situation like this, as just take the damn medicine that's gonna fix it and move on. Some people might remember when I was out in Denver. It was actually right around the time Watson got traded. We all got the stomach bug, and I was talking to my daughter, and I was like, "Listen, this medicine's gonna make you feel better. It might make you throw up, but it's gonna make you feel better in the long term." Like it might make you throw up. You might throw up a little bit more. She's four. She's like, I don't want to throw up more. I don't want to take it. I'm like, okay. Like, but no, in an hour or two, it'll make you feel better. I don't want to do that because it might make me sick. I'm like, well, you might still be sick, right? There's nothing that's going to like fix this. There's no guarantee that not taking the medicine will make you feel better either, right? But over the long term, taking the medicine is going to be a better bet for you. No, I don't want to do it. And of course, she then throws up a little bit more. You know, it goes from there. And, you know, ultimately she gets better, but did it take 6 more hours of feeling crummy because she wouldn't take the medicine? Probably. Right? Like, that's probably what happened. It's exactly what Carolina's doing. They refuse to take the medicine. You make a bad trade for Darnold, and what do? You double down on it. You're like, we don't want to bottom out. We need to sort of replace him. So you bring in another, for lack of a better term, a bad contract. And they just keep doing it. What they should have done was taken the medicine. Take the medicine and you trade it up for Matt Corral. I don't care if he's a day two pick. See what you have. What do we talk about to begin this story? If you have a rookie quarterback, on a rookie deal who plays good, that's a massive advantage financially because it allows you a ton of flexibility in the rest of your roster. You had the opportunity to do that with Matt Corral, and instead you went in the total opposite direction, which is to make your financial situation even worse and not compete anyways, right? Like, it's just a total – it's a total bad deal, right? I'm going to do some more strategy stuff on this, so I'll just cut it on that. But I'm going to do a strategy session on this here at some point in the future. I'm recording this on Thursday, so I might actually do it for this Sunday now that I'm inspired. But I think the lesson from this is Baker's I would say he's like middle of the position, right? As a fantasy scorer, is he going to be a big time? Fantasy guy? Probably not. Is he going to be like a top 10 guy in the league? Probably not. You know, can he play in sort of the quarterback two landscape? Yeah, probably. Like, that could probably be where he is. We don't want to necessarily be in that range of the position. So that's kind of the thing that I would, that would give me a little pause. Is like, we don't want to necessarily be investing a ton in guys like Baker Mayfield, right? We don't want to be doing that because we want to be, on guys that are more elite, right? So that's really the thing that I have, the question, concern really that I have about them is like, they don't have a clear way out, right? When you look at them, they rank this year 10th in terms of quarterback salary at 25.3 million. Teams in front of them, the Chiefs, the Titans, the 49ers, the Vikings, interestingly, the Lions, the Commanders, the Packers, the Ravens, and the Broncos. I'll say this from a, like, when you look at some of these, you can just say, like, I think Minnesota potentially chased a little too much, and the Lions probably haven't. Like, the Washington has. Like, it's really interesting. You could see how the teams treat the quarterback contracts. It's a big, big deal. So that'll be enough for the Baker deal. I think generally speaking, if we're just going to talk specifically about Baker, we'll talk about the decision process around this a little bit more. But if you look at Baker, 7.2 yards per attempt the last three seasons, 7.3 on his career. He's been really a roller coaster guy in terms of PFF grade, for example. He had a 79 grade as a rookie, 72.8 in 2019, all the way up to 85 in 2020, and then down to 62.4 last year. I think some of that's probably attributable to the injury. Right? No good deed goes unpunished. He tries to play through it, and he doesn't play well, and then they move on from him. And you're kind of like, what the hell? You know, and that's a tough business in that sense. 5.8% of his throws are big time throws. It was at 4.5 last year. Last year's number was at his height of turnover worthy plays at 3.9, but not alarmingly so. Like, it's his career average is 3.4, so it was a little high, but not super high. Not anything that was like Blake Bortles. I would say this though, that like there was a, like, this was the worst split between the two of them. Like, this is the closest that they had been. So big time throw down, turnover worthy play up. That's kind of the deal. I think a lot of the stuff for him taking hits and the like, especially this past year, was on him. 29.1% of his pressures turned into sacks on his career. He was a sub 20% guy up until last year. So I don't know if he was confidence was shot or what, but it's definitely attributable to him in terms of taking a lot more sacks last year. A lot of his pressures turned into sacks, and that's something that he has not done historically in his career. He held onto the ball the exact same time basically as his career average. It's at 2.84, and his career average is 2.8. So, you know, that's the deal with him. Like, I think he could still be good. Is he going to be a big time difference maker in fantasy? No. Can he sort of bridge you across in some of your, in your quarterback two range. I think so. He's better than Sam Darnold. He should start, and that shouldn't be. If they bring him in and make it a quarterback competition, like, it's, they are as dumb as we think they are. Like, if your play is to do this, just play it out. That's kind of my, would be my take on it. And maybe learn the lesson of, like, just rip the Band-Aid off, right? Like, bottom out, you get a top five pick, and just go from there. Like, some of these teams just don't learn this lesson, and it's kind of nauseating to be on the watching side of it. So that's the overall deal on that trade. Some other stuff here. So they traded up for Matt Corral. They've got Darnold, again, the top 10 of the position in spending. They drafted Ekwonwu out of North Carolina State, offensive tackle. They didn't have a second or a fourth because of the Darnold trade. They didn't have a third because they gave Dan Arnold and a third for CJ Henderson and a fifth. They ended up having a fourth from a different trade. They traded up for next year to get Matt Corral, who they then aren't apparently going to play. So, listen, up to you to figure out on what they're doing, because I'm a little lost. When you look, right, they fire Joe Brady. They now bring in Ben McAdoo, who, frankly, wasn't that good when he was the offensive coordinator or the really the play caller there with his stint with the Giants. He then bounced around with the Jags before Urban Meyer came in. He was the offensive coordinator when that was the Gardner Minshew show there in Jacksonville. So we'll see how that jump starts the offense. They went from kind of new, young, and innovative to old, and none of those things with Ben McAdoo, almost in a sense of like, hey, let's give our friend a contract because we're all going to get fired anyways. So we'll see how that works out for Carolina this year. They're getting McCaffrey back. Again, I like McCaffrey as much as probably anyone. If we were to say, hey, give me the guy that has the ultimate highest ceiling, it is absolutely Christian McCaffrey, and I don't think it is particularly close. When you look at his value, for example, on some of his touches and stuff, like, it can absolutely just dwarf the other positions, the other guys, the position, right? It's basically like twice the value on a per touch basis than like your running back three, right? Like, it's just crazy when you look at it. It's a lot of it is receiving centric, but he's just so good from a per touch basis that, you know, it really is super impactful. I'm in on him in trades. It's tough even for Ben McAdoo to screw up Christian McCaffrey, even though he may try. We'll have to see how that goes. But I do think that this is a situation with McCaffrey, like, this is going to be probably the cheapest that we've got him. And I'm like, that's a good potential. That's a good, really good potential difference making player here overall at the position. So that's really the take there. Again, the backup spot will be interesting. You've got Deonta Foreman. You've got Chuba Hubbard as well. I think being attuned to that, you know, we'll see how that goes. They brought in Foreman after Chuba Hubbard was, frankly, like, not the best not the best in terms of his production last year. I think he left a little bit to be desired. So we'll see how that ultimately goes. Just one thing, when you look at McCaffrey, I just wanted to mention this. Christian McCaffrey, on a per route run basis, 0.44 yards, excuse me, 0.44 PPR points per route run. That's just an elite number. He's in terms of guys that have over 200 routes in his career, he's a top 5 percentile guy in terms of targets per route run. He is a career 99th percentile in terms of receiving grade guy. It's just a ridiculous profile. It's just a ridiculous profile. Career 1.79 yards per route run. It's just crazy. He's just a dominant player in that sense. So big fan there with what he can offer. And I think, you know, I think with him, just the ceiling super high. I mean, that's just the he just can offer stuff like he can offer 25 plus points in a way that very few other guys can. So that's really the deal with him, and I'm pretty high on McCaffrey, especially in redraft. I understand some of the concerns and problems with him on a in dynasty, right? Up a little in age, and he has multiple years of being banged up and the like there. You have a little bit of concern with that, but overall, I just look at this and I'm like, all right, what do we want? Routes per game, 16.8. Again, he missed some time last year. Targets per game, he's third at 5.7. Just, it's a really high expectation in terms of expectation of yards per route run is like 2.28. That's just outrageous. 2.91 yards per route run. He's targeted on 34% of his routes. I mean, just incredible stuff. Expected for points per game 5 last year. And again, that's like missing some time in a game as well on a pretty small sample size. So you look at that and you're like, all right, there's a lot there to really like. So that's really the pitch there for him. When you look at the receiving stuff, I think it's funny that how off, like how crazy it has been with Robbie Anderson. Even when you look at Robbie Anderson, like last year, he was still pretty heavily targeted. They were just bad. And it was interesting that, like, I thought, hey, this is a guy who's a cheap source of targets. And it actually ended up being true, but they were just bad. Like he was bad, they were bad targets. Just not a lot there to really write home about. He was expected for 10.9 points per game and scored 8.1. Just really left a lot to be desired. Expected for 902 receiving yards and was at 519. Just pretty brutal stuff there. Expected 46th in points per game and was 72nd. Expected yards per route run 1.45, and he was at 0.83, so just pretty dismal there across the board. Listen, Robbie Anderson was bad, but it's notable that DJ Moore was well below expectation too, but his expectation just so much higher. And this is the thing with DJ Moore, I really like for Baker coming in. I just think he can produce more for DJ Moore, no pun intended there, and get him back just at least to some of the expectation stuff. He started on 25% of his routes. That's good for a top 10 percentile outcome, right? You look at his yards per route run was at 87th percentile. His expected yards per route run was 94th percentile. So really good stuff there. His expected points per route run is top 10 percentile. So really good stuff there in terms of where he's at. Just underperforming it. A lot of that, I think, is Darnold, more so really than it is Moore. We kind of know what Moore is at this point. 156 targets. I think he's on a list of guys that could lead the league in targets this year. And frankly, I do think the touchdown stuff, it is annoying, but listen, 3.2 targets or 9.2 targets per game, a 23% target share. Those are good things. 6.3 expected touchdowns per game. He scored 4. So he did underperform, but I do think that there's ceiling opportunities for him that are much higher than he has performed. The tight end position is pretty dismal. I think you could basically look at this and say, hey, this is how do you get in a situation like Carolina is in? You pay Ian Thomas a lot of money. That's kind of where you're at. Tommy Tremble and Ian Thomas basically split routes last year, 300 for Ian Thomas, 276 for Tommy Tremble. Tommy Tremble, well below expectation, 0.65 yards per route run. He was expected for 0.99. So I like overall, I think you could probably write him off. A lot of the metrics that we look at, like that's kind of an early indicator that he's not going to be a difference maker. You could probably try and move on from him and honestly just recycle that roster spot, especially if you're in something that's a tighter roster spot situation. The overall situational stuff too, like we'll just take a peek at that, but just keep in mind that there is a quarterback change here. There is a quarterback change, a quarterback, an offensive scheme change and the like there, but they were 14th in play rank last year. They ranked 10th in terms of dropbacks per game. They ranked 14th in terms of designed pass rate, right about a neutral pacing there. So you know, I think there is some stuff to potentially go up. There's some stuff that could go down as well. So we'll see there about how that all shakes out. They were the worst tight end team in terms of targets, receptions, and yards per drop back, and they went and paid Ian Thomas money, which is incredible. So yeah, that's pretty much the deal with them. We'll see. I'm not going to invest a ton of time in studying their coaching staff because they've basically all been all but fired already. So we'll have to watch for that. There'll be a subject of some strategy stuff for us going forward. We'll also take a look here at the current draft data. Baker Mayfield, in the past couple of days since I've started recording this, since he's been traded and I recorded this right at quarterback 29, he's 32 in startup data here. So again, not super optimistic there, but I think he could play himself into a shot here at the position. We'll see. Again, what is that from a NFL advantage standpoint is different, I think, maybe than it is from fantasy, but could lift the lid on DJ Moore and McCaffrey. Darnold, 53 he's later into the 30s. I don't think it's fully tracked out with him over the drop in his numbers since McCaffrey came in. It has been he was at 37, and he's been at 37 the last day. But again, that number's a little limited. So I think that's going to drop pretty substantially, would be my thought. McCaffrey, he's at 5 in terms of Dynasty, RDP 2 in terms of underdog. So again, you got that really high-end level of production there. Really like him. Foreman, 64 in Dynasty, 61 in underdog, 69 for Chuba Hubbard. That's very nice. They are close in terms of split at the injury away roll. I think if one of those guys got cut, something like that, the other one would probably rise up pretty good. If we got some clarity there, that would be a decent shot for a good injury away guy there. DJ Moore, 15th in terms of Dynasty, 17th in underdog. We'll see how that goes. I've seen some high-level people talking about that actually bumping up DJ Moore, so I can get on board with that. Robbie Anderson, 74th at underdog, 94th in terms of real draft position. So maybe the source of a little bounce back this year. That could be interesting. And Tommy Tremble, well into the 40s in both. He's an avoid guy pretty much across the board. That'll do it for this edition of the Carolina Panthers. And until next time, continue embracing the variance. We'll talk again very soon.